Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're listening to us live right now, and if you are, would you please click the follow button so my boss knows I'm doing my job. Thank you. We're wrapping up Women's Writers Month in honor of Women's History Month. I cannot think of two authors more suited for this show than Jill Gregory and Karen Tintori. They are best friends and writing partners and have just done a ton of things together for 30 years. I'm so honored to have them here to close out this month and to hear about their friendship, how they collaborate on writing, and what they think about women's fiction today. It's my pleasure to introduce Karen Tintori. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pam. Glad to be here.
Thank you. And this wonderful Jill Gregory. Jill, welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thank you, Pam. It's a pleasure to be here.
As I said, I'm thrilled that you're here because to me, women friendships are really so important. I grew up with a best friend who I'm still friends with. We met each other when we were 5 years old, or 6 years old. She likes to remind me. She was six, I was five. We're still friends, and I'm not even telling you how many years that is, but it's well over 50 years of friendship. It's a wonderful thing. And I love the fact that besides being best friends, you two are also collaborators in your writing. I want to start with Jill. Would you please tell me how you and Karen met?
Oh, I'd love to. We met in a mother-toddler class with our children. Karen was in the same class with her son, and I was in that class with my daughter. And our kids just took to each other. And every day when we arrived at the class, my daughter and her son would run toward each other and kiss on the lips. They were 2 years old. And
oh,
we would just laugh
that.
And laugh. And it was just hysterically funny. And that's how we became friends, because they became friends so quickly. We thought it was the cutest thing. And we started getting together and having play dates. And we soon found out we had so much in common. We both were writers. And we started having a very wonderful friendship.
You know, Karen, you told me about Jill long before I had the chance to meet her, because you and I have spoken quite a bit over the year, and I was really fascinated because you both have varied interests, but you also have a lot of commonalities, especially with your writing. What was the conversation like with Jill when you decided that you wanted to write a book together?
Well, the conversation was a little bit of chutzpah on my part. Our first book was a nonfiction collaboration. And Jill and I, the book is called What Does Being Jewish Mean? And it came out in, I think, the early 90s. And we would ask each other, we were sounding boards for each other when our kids asked us questions. Like, my son asked, you know, like, when the Messiah comes, is he going to have superpowers like He-Man? And the different questions that they asked, and I would say to her, I did not grow up Jewish, so I would say to her, this is what I answered my kids. Is this the right answer? What do you think? And the crux of it was, and Jill did the same thing with me, but the crux was one evening when Jill and her husband were out with their daughter, who was five, and she saw an animal that was killed in the road, and she asked them why God let that happen to that poor innocent dog. And Jill called me up, and she said to me, this is what we said to her, and what do you think? And it's, I wish there was a book for children, for parents, to be able to answer these kind of questions. And I just blurted out, well, I'll help you write it. And then I was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? You know, she's published. She has an agent. She has a publisher. I have a big mouth. And the next day, we sat down to start writing out a list of questions and asked our friends, you know, what kind of questions their kids asked them, and set off in search of a rabbi, and that was the birth of What Does Being Jewish Mean?
How, what a wonderful story. By the way, Joe, what did you say to your daughter?
Boy, I'm trying to remember it right now. I think I told her that there's a reason for things that happen. We don't always understand it. All we can do, it's in our power to be as kind as we can be and to take care of as many people and creatures as we can. And I think I tried to explain it in that way. It was really a tough thing to explain to a young child. And we found there were so many issues that like that, that, you know, parents don't know what to say. So we tried to explore that, and we worked with a rabbi, actually, to help us with the answers.
What a lovely thing to do. My word for the year has been kindness. So I love the fact that you said that to your daughter. I will keep that in mind when, as my granddaughter, who turns one in a month, gets older and starts asking questions. Thank you for that. So you wrote this book to answer children's questions, but really to help parents answer children's questions. But in the meantime, Karen, had you had a writing career prior to that?
My writing career prior to that, Pam, was all in journalism. I wrote for FTD Florist Magazine, which was their trade publication. I covered, my claim to fame there was covering Trisha Nixon's wedding flower preparations and spending a week in the White House before that wedding.
Really?
Yes. That was, someday I'm going to write about it on my website. It was very interesting. It was a very interesting week. And met the president and his wife and took some pictures. They pretty much handed me a 35-millimeter camera, taught me how to use it, and sent me off to Washington. So that was quite interesting. And so my background was in journalism and public relations. So after we wrote What Does Being Jewish Mean, Jill said, you know, she had been writing historical romance, and she wanted to do something contemporary. And I said, no, I don't do fiction. And she goes, yeah, you can do fiction. And so she twisted my arm. And I have to say, when you're talking about kindness, Jill is one of the kindest friends I know. So that just emanates from her. So that's why that answer came from her.
Thank
you, Karen. But you know you are, too. I admire you so much. And that's why we just get along so well. We both have a lot of respect for each other.
But Joe, you've been writing fiction for quite a few years. When you first met Karen, had you already been writing fiction and been published?
Yes, I'd already been published.
And
absolutely.
So you were writing historicals at the time, but you now write mostly contemporary, don't you?
Yes, I gradually became more interested in doing some contemporaries. I wasn't sure I could do it at first. I'd written a possible contemporary that I'd started out writing, and I didn't feel comfortable with it. And so for a long time, I just stayed with the historicals, which I enjoy doing and I love doing. But I wanted to try the contemporary, and finally I gave it another shot.
I want to say we find you maybe in a romance genre, but your contemporary fiction is really women's fiction. It's not necessarily romance, although there is romance in it. And I know that you were honored with the Romantic Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Congratulations. And then
Thank you.
Back-to-back Reviewer Choice Awards for Best Western Historical Romances. You're widely, widely, widely published, 24 countries. I can't name 24 countries off the top of my head. So congratulations on that. Are you enjoying writing women's fiction, Jill?
I do. I love it. I can't think of a better job in the world. I feel so lucky to be able to do something that I have always loved to do. From the time I was little, I loved writing. I was an English major in college. And I just feel very blessed that my career is doing what I love to do. And I love when I hear from readers. It's just wonderful to know that something that I write has touched someone or given them a smile or, you know, helped their day at the end of the day when they're relaxing, that they have something to read that they're enjoying. It's a wonderful feeling because I'm a reader myself, and I've spent so many hours reading books, especially when I was growing up and as a young woman, when books were so wonderful for me. I always loved them. And now to think that I can do that for someone else, it's just a really good feeling.
Well, let's stay with that thread for a minute. You said you wrote as a young girl, you read as a young girl and also in college, and you continue to read. What books influenced you and which writers do you think?
Okay, well, I started out when I was young with all of the Nancy Drew books, you know, read all of those
of course.
Series. And,
sure.
like, I would finish one and pick another one up immediately, you
yes.
know, just
yes.
no break in between. And then later on, my two of my favorite authors were Mary Stuart and Georgette
yes.
Heyer. And my mother
wow.
read both of those books before me. She loved those authors, and they were like these little paperbacks. Compared to the
yes.
books now, they were very short. And
right.
she would give them to me to read. When she finished one, she would give it to me. And I just absolutely loved them. And I just was enchanted by those books. And those are the books that really inspired me to want to write.
Did you become a writer immediately? Did you make the choice to write fiction? Or did you have another job before you found your way in writing?
I actually, what happened was I graduated with a degree in English education. I was unable to find a teaching job at the time. It was when there was a glut of teachers, and I was working in an office. And all of a sudden, one day, I read an article about an author named Rosemary Rogers, who her first book came out, which was Sweet Savage Love, back in the late 70s or early 80s, I think it was. And she revolutionized women's fiction at that time. And I read the story, and she'd been working as a secretary or something like that, and she wrote this book, and it was a huge bestseller. And I looked at my husband and said, I think I can write a book like this. And I tried to do it, and I just researched a lot of things about the publishing industry, and I started writing the book. And I was very, very excited when it was accepted for publication.
How wonderful. Got out of the gate and it was accepted?
The second publisher that I sent it to accepted it, yes.
Goodness,
I almost fainted.
That's a lovely thing. And you've been writing since, how many books do you have under your belt? You're by yourself. You're solo.
I think maybe 30, something like that, I think.
Good for you. Good for you. Karen, you have come in a different way. You came to writing a little bit in a different way. Your genre is a little bit different, but I know you are a huge reader as well. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I read, like Jill, I read all of the Nancy Drew books. I read all of the All of a Kind family books and The Little House on the Prairie and, you know, the usual books that you read when you're in
sure.
sixth grade and you're a voracious reader. And as a child, I would walk to the library once a week and take out as many books as I could carry between my chin and, you know, and my hands cupped together to hold them. And it was about 8 blocks to the library, and I would finish them before the 3 weeks and go back. And I read all the books in the children's section before I was 13, and you were not allowed to go into the adult section until you were 13. And I begged the librarian. I said, look, I've read all of these books. Can I please take something out of the adult section? No, go back and reread the children's section. And about a year
wow,
ago,
Jesus.
Somebody said to me, well, why didn't you ask your mother to take a book out of the adult section for you? And I said, now you tell me. Never dawned on me.
Right.
Never dawned
Never
on me.
Never dawned on you. Wow. So did you have to keep rereading the children's books, or how did you move on? Did you wait
well,
until you were older and get...
For me, it was like, you know, I'm going to die without reading all the wonderful books that I want to read. You know, as with most writers, I'm looking right now at a to-be-read pile of about 30 books, and that's just office, not alone in my bedroom.
We don't want to talk about those right now.
We don't want to talk about that. I have very rarely reread a book. It's like there's so much more to read. Sometimes, you know, especially since I've begun writing fiction, if there's a really wonderful book that I read, you know, it gets to be hard to read a book for pleasure when you notice techniques and you notice the beautiful writing and the tricks of the trade,
yes.
you know, and then to try to go back and to reread it either for pleasure or to go back and read it for technique. So we get spoiled a little bit by being writers ourselves, that we don't, you know, I feel like I don't have the same pleasure reading totally as I used to when I wasn't writing.
Let's talk about your genre of books and your style of writing, because you do not only write fiction. Am I correct?
You are correct.
I've written
fiction. Well, Jill and I have written two Women in Jeopardy books early on in our collaboration after the first nonfiction book. And then we wrote two thrillers that were compared to The Da Vinci Code. And then side by side while I was working on that, I'm an avid genealogist, and I have two narrative nonfiction books that arose from my genealogical research on both my mom's side of the family, which is originated in Sicily, and my dad's side of the family, which originated in Emilia-Romagna, which is near Bologna. And so with those books, I say, Truman Capote started that genre with in Cold Blood. And it's where you take your novelist's heart and your journalist's head and you put them together to tell a story with all the tools of a novelist, but it's a true story. And so those are the two books, Trapped, and which is about our country's worst coal mine fire, and has so much historical significance, but is very little known outside of the area, 80 miles from Chicago, where the accident happened. And then Unto the Daughters, which is the story of a woman lost to history, my great aunt, who was a family secret for 80 years and was murdered by family members.
Oh, boy. And that's the book that you sent me. And so I'm not going to do any spoilers on that book because I don't want our listeners to have no reason to go and get it. So now you're collaborating on books and your friendship continues. What have you learned from each other as writers, Jill?
Oh, I've learned so much from Karen. She is fabulous at research. And she has a very special way of writing. It's different from mine, and yet we meld together. We really work well together. But I admire everything that she does. It's just been a wonderful collaboration. We have a lot of fun when we collaborate. There's
I'm
always
so glad.
Coffee, and there's always chocolate.
That's right. That is the way to do it, I would say. Karen, when you're collaborating, now I just heard that you are the research guru. I would imagine that since you are very into genealogy. What have you learned from Jill?
Well, from Jill, I learned how to be a novelist and how to write fiction, where my head was solidly in the journalistic, the journalist area. Learned how to write sex scenes, which was interesting. I'd never done that before. And our collaboration was, editor said to us, so what happens? One of you writes the first chapter and then the other one writes the second, or one of you writes a chapter and the other one polishes it, or one of you writes the men and the other one writes the women. We said, no, we write every line by line together, sitting at each other's elbows.
Do you sit together and write that way?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
One day one of us is at the keyboard and the other one is at her elbow, and then we switch the next day and whoever's at the keyboard picks where we go to lunch.
That's really interesting to me. I have some of my colleagues, two of my colleagues who are hosts of our horror show, Horror and Supernatural, also are best-selling authors, and they write together by Skype because they don't live in the same state. And their books are phenomenal, and they are phenomenal writers as well. So I'm always interested in the different way people collaborate, that authors collaborate. I've been told that some will write a first draft, and then the book goes back to their co-writer who pushes up and it comes back, and then if there are questions, it's a back and forth. Do you both have the same vision for a book that you are collaborating on?
We really usually do because we talk about it so much. We go to lunch when we're working together and we talk everything over, and we're very, simpatico with each other. So it's important to us that we do have the same vision when we get started.
Do you outline, Karen?
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm not a pantser. I have to have a beginning, a middle, and the end. And, you know, like Jill and I say, sometimes the road to the finished product changes. You might take some detours along the way, mm-hmm. but we pretty much have a roadmap. And a lot of really woo-woo things have happened to us along the way where we're going to name a character and we'll both blurt out a very unusual name at the same moment. Like our brains are, when we're on a roll, our brains are so in sync, it's scary.
I love that. That must be the best feeling to know that you truly are on the exact same page, even in your minds. That's a wonderful thing. Jill, what kind of a mom is Karen?
Oh, Karen is a fabulous mom. She cares so much for her kids and her grandkids, and she is terrific in
Thank
every
you.
Way.
Thank you.
Karen, what does Jill do that you wish you could do too?
Be a New York Times bestselling author.
That could be it. But, you know, I suspect you're going to get there. Just hang on, and I suspect you will be.
I agree.
I really do believe you both will be there together, and that'll be lovely. I want to talk about women's literature because both of you, either in your collaboration or separately, do write about women in your books. What do you think of the state of women's fiction today, and how do you feel women's fiction authors are viewed? Jill?
I think that the state of women's fiction is in a good place today. The more books that I read, there are very strong women in fiction, and they're mostly determining their own destiny. And I like that because Karen and I both like to write books about strong women. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Good. Karen?
Well, my reading lately has been a little bit away from women's fiction, and surprisingly, without knowing it, because I thought I was reading women's fiction, I was reading young adult fiction and was blown away to find out that some of the books with these strong women characters were actually YA fiction. And I think that women's fiction today is very strong, and that women authors now, with more options to us with e-publishing, it's a really exciting time to be an author.
Will you continue to write individually as well as collaborate, Karen?
Right now I'm working individually, but we have it, you know, the option open to work together again. We just collaborated on releasing, you know, one of our first women's fiction books, Something Borrowed, Something Blue, came out in the the mid-90s. And we just, for the first time, have published it as an ebook. And so we just spent a few months fine-tuning that book. And we didn't do it side-by-side that time. We did it collaborating together on the phone. But and then we have another one that we're going to be working on together soon. And then God gives us a long life. Who knows what will happen next?
Absolutely. Jill, is there a genre you'd like to write that you haven't written in?
Not really. I think I've written in the genres I really enjoy the most, which is romance, suspense, women's fiction, historical, contemporary. I'm really not that much into horror, even though I loved Rosemary's Baby when I read it, but it scared the daylights out of me. But that's
right.
Not, you know, my favorite genre to read. So I'm pretty happy with the ones that I've covered. Those are where my passions are, where the books that I grew up reading always had an element of suspense, of mystery, and an element of romance. So I'm very happy with that.
Do you think that you want to write a young adult book, a young adult, new adult book?
I don't know. I might. I hadn't really thought about it. I'm working on something else from Family Genealogy that is going to take me a while because, like Unto the Daughters took 12 years to research, I'm having some issues researching that one book because there's one character who has been painted very badly, and I'm trying to find out more information about her because I like to present the facts to the reader and let the reader decide if someone's good, bad, or indifferent. And
sure.
I don't have a solid lead on the wife of a relative. And so I'm still working on that. I think that what I admire is comedic writing. And I've never tried to do that. I don't think I would attempt that. I do love to read suspense and mystery, and that's what I'm working on. And even I started thinking, boy, I'm scattered all over the place. Two nonfiction books, one strictly nonfiction, one, you know, two narrative nonfiction, two Women in Jeopardy, two thrillers, and saying, what is my brand? And basically my brand is suspense, except for the very first nonfiction book. So that's what I enjoy reading, and that element is in all of my writing.
So taking a cue from what you just said, which suspense authors do you like to read?
Oh, I love Harlan Coben. I love Daniel Silva. I love Brad Meltzer.
Lee Child is also wonderful. I love his books,
too. Absolutely.
Yep.
Gail Lynn.
Yep. Brad is a Miami guy. I see him. I used to see him all the time when I lived there. Lee, of course, you can see at all the cons. He's wonderful. He's the friendliest man in the world. He's been on one of the shows in this network. Brad Thor has. You said, who did you tell me? Harlan. Harlan Coben has a new book out. And who else did you say? Daniel Silva, one of the nicest men it was ever my pleasure to interview. Very shy at first. But I asked him a question and he burst out laughing and that kind of broke the ice. And I love his books too. I am in love with Gabriel Allon.
He's fabulous. He's a fabulous character. I know some readers have been on Facebook, they've been posting pictures of who they think should play Gabriel Allon. And I'm going, no. I don't know who should play him, but none of the ones that have been up on Facebook lately.
To me, that is the ultimate spy and the ultimate lover. I don't know. He's just great. I love him. I love that
character. Absolutely, and I'd love to see that movie, too. I'd love to see a series of his movies.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Mm-hmm.
Jill, whose books do you like reading?
Oh, my goodness. I love basically all the same thriller authors that Karen mentioned. When we're writing thrillers, we are reading thrillers because it just really sort of gets the juices flowing. And I love all those same authors. And I'm also reading a Mary Bailo book right now, which is a Regency historical romance. And I love her books because they are so entertaining, so delightful, so beautifully written, and they're just charming. And when I want to relax, I love to read a Mary Bailo book. And I'm also reading, I like to read, a lot of different mysteries. And Lee Child is always on my list and those other thriller writers. Whenever they have a new book out, that's what I'm going for.
So you're not reading very much in romance, except for Mary's books, which are lovely, by the way. And, she's like one of the queens, of course.
And Susan Elizabeth Phillips is another favorite of mine.
Oh, she's the best.
She's the best. Her books always, at some point, I always laugh out loud, just cannot stop laughing.
Yes, she's wonderful, too. I like her as well.
And
ladies,
Doug Lyle is another one I love. D.T. Lyle.
I just have his new book sitting here. I have a galley of it, so I have to get on that and read it. And he's a lovely man, by the way. He's just super
nice.
Yes,
he is.
Yeah, so... it was really funny because he was walking with, I can't remember who, through a thriller fest, and he said, do you read books? And I said, oh, yes, I do. And he said, how many books do you read? And I said, about 400 a year. And he said, thank you. Just like that. It was the funniest look on his face at me. I am blushing, and I don't blush for anything. You know, he just said, wow, That's really great.
You took him by surprise. That's amazing.
I think I did, but you know, it. Listen, writers are my celebrities, so ladies, that's what I'm telling you. I don't own a television, and I'm very happy not to. I get whatever I need to know on the internet, and believe me, I don't need to know all that stuff. But I want to ask you both. If someone comes up to you and says, I really want to write, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to start, I know I have a story to be told, but I have no idea how to put it together. Karen, what do you tell her first?
The first thing I say is to get Techniques of the Selling Writer by Dwight Swain. I just had a niece ask me. She sent me an email and said, I have a book in mind and I don't know how to get started. And I told her to make notes and to write down. I said, you need a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you need to figure out who your characters are. But if you want to really write well, that would be the book that I would tell you to start out with as far as technique. Or to take some online writing classes at Writers University or with Margie Lawson or, you know, somebody brand new who doesn't have a writing background. That's where I would direct them. And boy,
Jill,
do we get asked that all the time.
I would bet. So, Jill, let me ask you something. How important are critique groups and beta readers?
I really have never worked with critique groups or beta readers.
Okay.
When I started out, it was just me and my electric typewriter. And obviously I've graduated to the computer, but I've never really done that. I just follow my instincts. And I was a member of Romance Writers of America for quite a while. And actually, when our local chapter was just starting up, I was a member with some other close friends, some other writers who became very, very close friends, including Ruth Ryan Langan, Marianne Willman. And we were very good friends, and we would talk out our writing problems and you know, read to each other and get feedback from a very small, close-knit group. And that's what I love and enjoy, from people who you know are supportive and give you good criticism in a way that is positive. Other than that, I don't even really know what a beta reader is, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so would it be a good thing for someone to find a local chapter of whatever genre they want, wherever they live? And because it's my understanding that RWA is a very nurturing group for new writers, that they really help to get the newbies going, kind of find their land legs and get moving.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the most important things that they can do, is to join a local group. Find people who are like-minded, who are always interested in improving their craft, in learning and supporting each other, and it's a wonderful experience.
How wonderful.
And you know, Pam, also for writers who are starting out in the mystery or thriller genre, International Thriller Writers is a phenomenal organization, and Thriller Fest every year, Jill and I have gone to several Thriller Fests, and now they have an online craft writing, and that is a very worthwhile organization for people starting out in that genre to check into and to join.
Yes, it's amazing. There's no doubt. And Thriller Fest is a lot of fun. And the nice thing is, if you've got something prepared, you're not sure, you can go to one of the classes that they have there. They have, you know, all these. I think that people starting off their writing careers don't understand how supportive other writers are, because they know the struggle that you have when you first get started. So a lot of these conferences will have these panels where you have the best of the best giving advice, and they're answering your questions, and it's not thousands of people at one time. You have a panel of authors that you enjoy and that you like their genre, and they give you that information. I think those things are really important. You have a chance to meet editors and do a pitch to editors and agents. So all of those are real important, I think, for new writers to get into the swing of things, correct? To get into a mindset of it.
Yes, yeah. The writing community is a very generous community, Pam.
It certainly is.
I've always found it that way.
Yes,
I have too.
I
find that, you know, writing alone can be very difficult. It's a lonely job. You have your own insecurities. You have to have confidence to keep going when you're struggling with a manuscript. And sometimes you struggle, you know, with every line or every page, and then you think it's never going to turn out well, and then all of a sudden you find the key. So it can be a lonely job, but it's so important to have that support and to have people who are sharing what they're doing and you're sharing what you're doing, and you understand that this is a community and we're all going through the same thing, and you just have to work through it.
I want to tell you a story about a Florida author who lives on the east coast of Florida who went to either an RT or an RWA that was in Florida and on the left coast. And he came back and he blogged about it. He said, "I know that writers are nurturing groups," he said, "but you get around some of those women romance writers, you are back in the womb. You are so happy there." He says, "I have never felt so nurtured and so loved and so, you know, it's like, come to mama, baby, we'll take care of you." And he was stunned at the level of it. And I think that you're right, that it is. But yes, women fiction writers really know how to nurture, to, it's not an industry, I don't think, fraught with jealousies or anything like that. You know, I think it's a wonderful group. I'm honored to know so many of you. And I'm so thrilled that both of you, writing partners and best friends for 30 years, are here with me tonight. Just off the top of my head, Karen, if you could think of a woman in history who changed things for you or made you think about things a little bit different, who would that woman be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Boy, you've got me stumped.
That's
okay. That is a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about a woman in history, but I would say that my mother greatly influenced me to become a writer, because I shared the books that she read, and she would wake up in the middle of the night and go downstairs and into the kitchen and be reading a book, and I would go downstairs and read a book with her. And we would each have our own book and sit at the table in the middle of the night. We were night owls, and read together. Our own book.
What a wonderful memory. What a wonderful memory.
It was so wonderful, and she was the one who started me reading the Mary Stuarts and the Georgette Hares, and she was my inspiration, and she taught me the love of reading. And I don't know that, you know, she unfortunately died young, and she never knew that I became a writer, but I always feel close to her when I'm writing, because we shared a love of books.
Oh,
and it was very deep, very deep.
I'm sure, yeah. Moms are the best. My mom got one of my brothers and I into reading, and my mom loved her. My mother loved Mary Higgins Clark, and I'm hoping at some point to interview her in my mom's memory. And we all read her, you know, my brother and I both. I have another brother who said to me, "You know, I don't think I've ever read a book for pleasure." And that almost, it makes me weep thinking that.
Oh, my goodness.
Because of the places that you go when you read, the worlds to explore, the characters you become. I can't imagine not ever having read a book, and just for the pleasure of reading. And
right.
I think, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. So what's next for the two of you? Karen?
Well, I'm working on my never-ending work in progress. And have two other ones in the hopper that I'm trying to, like, put aside and just do a little bit here and a little bit there, doing the research as I can. Sometimes you need a little break from what you're doing.
Sure.
Life has thrown me a couple of curveballs lately, so progress has been slower than I had anticipated, but I see a little light at the end of the tunnel, so I've got a chance to plow back into it and get it finished and out the door.
Okay, and Jill, what's happening with you? What's on your agenda?
Okay, well, I'm working on two different directions. I'm working on one of my first historical romances, The Wayward Heart, which came out, let's see, in the early, around 1980, and I'm going to publish that as an ebook soon. So I'm getting that all cleaned up and ready to go as an ebook, which I'm very excited about. That was my first book to hit the New York Times
bestselling
list.
I love that book.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you. So I'm working on getting that one ready, and I'm also, I finished my Lonesome Way series, and now I'm starting a new small town series. And I just have the first few chapters of a new book going, too. So I'm very excited to work on that and see where it leads me.
Jill, where can we find you on the web and in social media, please?
My website is www.jillgregory.net. And I'm on Facebook and on Twitter.
Okay. And Karen? Where can we find
www.karentintori.com, and also I have an author page on Facebook and am on Twitter under that same handle. And Jill and I have book pages for all of our books. Our collaborations are on Facebook also, so you can check out those pages by the titles of the book.
How wonderful. I can't thank you both enough for being here with me to close out Women's Fiction Writers Month in honor of Women's History Month. Your longstanding friendship, your collaboration, and then your individual lives are very inspiring for women. I thank you so much. I hope you both will come back and tell us what's going on in your lives. You know,
I would love to.
Okay.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Thank you for having us. It is an honor to close out this month. And
we've
loved chatting with you.
Thank you so much. And Jill, thank you so much also for being with me. Congratulations on your long writing career, your awards and achievements. And Karen, I just know you're going to be up there on those lists too. Okay?
Well, I have
thank
a good teacher.
I
thank you, Karen, and thank you, Pam.
Thank
this
you.
Was so much fun.
You're so welcome, and you have a great friend, Karen. That's the difference. I'll see you at NINC. Jill, I hope to run into you sometime soon, and I want to thank our listeners. I hope you have a lovely evening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.